and welcome to this week's The Supergroup, where we assemble an unlikely pair of special guests from the world of music and comedy to collaborate with us as we write and record a completely original song over the course of a week.
Which we will debut for you, the listener, at the end of this episode.
Our first guest, okay, you know her from Saturday Night Live, you know her from Loosely Exactly Nicole, or maybe you've seen her new movie, I Feel Pretty. You guys, I'm so excited to welcome Sasheer Zameda.
Yay, it's me.
Yay! Sasheer, I'm very happy to meet you in person and to dispel the myth that maybe we're the same person.
Oh, man. That's just for every black woman.
Truly
in Hollywood.
Is. Yes. Do you know I actually was mistaken for you at a festival, which I will not name? You had gotten off stage from sound checking. I went on stage, and the tech guy said, "How come you get to do two shows?"
That's kind of wild.
It was insane.
You really don't look anything alike.
No, and we were dressed very differently. And I had to point at you and be like, "That's a different woman." And he was very embarrassed.
Oh, no.
So, yay for being yourself.
And yay for being yourself.
Thank you.
And you know our next guest from his roles on The Good Place and Brooklyn Nine-Nine. He also plays Principal Bentley in the new Jumanji movie. So please let us warmly welcome Mark Evan Jackson.
Hello. Yay, it's me.
Yay, it's you. Now, Mark, I don't think anyone has ever confused us for each other, but have you ever been confused for Tawny Newsome?
Not for Tawny Newsome, no. The person I get confused for most often is Clark Gregg of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel movies.
I can see that.
That happens a decent amount.
Does it make you feel good?
No, it works in the opposite direction for me. It makes me feel bad because it's always people going like, "Wait, are you somebody?" And it's like, I mean, maybe. Like, A, if you have to ask. No.
Yeah, no.
And then do you just think about how much more money that guy must have than
it.
You?
Yeah. Oh, I don't have to think about it for very long. It's apparent.
So these are our guests. And this week, you know, because it's episode 3, we decided, let's break the format. So this is a weird one. Normally, we've chosen to have a dedicated musician and then somebody who identifies as a dedicated comedian. This time we're throwing it out the fucking window because I'm a visionary who cannot be bound by my own rules or requirements. And because we had two comedians who happen to both be very musical, which is not a rare thing, but like it's a fun bonus when we get it.
Yeah.
Mark, you have a long history as a musician.
I don't know if that's true. I suppose it is. I grew up playing the piano from like age 6. I took lessons through the time that I was a junior in high school. And then probably like a lot of people, the second I stopped taking lessons and was allowed to do what I wanted, it became fun. And I started playing a lot more. And for me, I started playing percussion in 5th grade and played in some bands and was terrible. But I played orchestral percussion in bands and orchestra through high school and through college.
What are we talking, like a glockenspiel, like
sure, that
a
stuff.
Timpani,
I mean,
like a...
Timpani, snare, bass drum, crash cymbals.
Heard of them.
All that stuff.
Yeah, I'm very music.
Are you? You're very music.
Tony is very music.
I'm 100 music. Percent.
And then I, in 7th grade, picked up the French horn. So I have like a, that I played all the way through college as well.
So of all those, like what would you say your favorite one to play now is?
Piano, for sure.
Piano?
Yeah. I was looking... a few years ago at buying a keyboard and played everything in town, including very expensive Nords and things, and nothing had the real feel. And my wife was like, "Dummy, buy a piano." And I live in Venice, and the houses are nearly touching each other. Like it's basically a marina or a trailer park. And
Venice, the trailer park of West LA.
I mean,
I just wanted everyone to have a soundbite of me saying that.
I mean, change my mind. But I was like, I can't really play a piano. So I found this great thing that's a legitimate Yamaha upright piano from Japan that's called the silent piano, where it's an actual piano, but you push down the middle pedal down and over, and there's a sampled grand deck underneath the keyboard. And so you can play with headphones and play it silently as well with a perfect piano action.
And not bother your neighbors. Oh, and it's weighted like that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh. Same action.
You also have something in common with Alex here that
What's
we've
that?
Talked about, but we haven't talked about it on tape. So
oh, yeah.
Did it really happen? that you were a Second City Chicago musical director.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm one of the very few people in the history of the Second City that was a main stage musical director and a main stage actor. I don't think there have been
you
any.
You might be the only one.
Damn.
I had no business doing it. Musical directors are hard to find. Mm-hmm. People that can, you know, play the piano and various other things, guitar and such, and write songs and whatever. It was my heart's desire to be on stage at the Second City. So when I auditioned for the touring company, I made what could be argued to be the mistake of putting all my music on my resume. And they hired me without having heard me play a note to be the touring company musical director. And I was like, "Should I send you a tape?" And they're like, "All right."
Sashir, so I knew that you were a singer, and you said so in your email, because I sent out an email at the beginning of the week that was like, what instruments do you play? And you were basically like, I don't play anything anymore. What things did you used to play, I'm curious about?
I played the violin from sixth grade to senior year of high school.
Cool.
So I guess 6 years. And but I never wanted to. Mm-hmm. I wanted to play the clarinet, which is not cooler, but I just wanted to. And my mom made me play the violin. I think because my cousins all were in the orchestra. Like, I had a cousin who was playing bass. One was playing cello. One was playing viola or something. So, like, she was like, you'll join them. You'll do what they do. And we all went to the same high school together. But I just didn't care enough. So, like, I stopped right after high school. And then, like, sometime after college, I was like, it'd be really awesome if I could play an instrument. Oh, I still have my violin. And I picked it up and I was like, I'm trash. I'm so bad at this and I want to be good at it. Although I never was good at it. So what was I expecting?
A violin is hard if you're not very good or at least like decent. Because any note that you squeak out of it that's bad makes you so sad.
Yeah. I don't know.
You're
Do
like,
you remember
no.
the eternity that 20 minutes of practicing used to feel like, though?
I know.
That just felt like jail.
It yep. did, but it's truly nothing.
I mean, in now.
Yeah. I also have a guitar, and I took lessons for a little bit, but don't know it well enough to be like, hey, everyone, look at me play this guitar.
Step one of playing the guitar is having the guitar.
Yeah, I do.
So
have
that
it.
Is like yeah, 50%
on the way.
Of the
And
battle.
I recently just bought like a stand for it to be out of the case.
Yes.
So
okay.
like I'm like, okay, so I can see it now, Smart. And maybe I will be able to play it.
Yeah. And you can probably coast on that progress for about a year.
Yeah, I agree. There's like three stages to playing the guitar. It's like owning it, putting it out so people can,
see
that
it.
You own it,
mm-hmm.
and then basically being
C
like
chord.
A,
and then C-chord. The C chord.
Three.
So we took a week to write this original tune. I don't know if either of you have ever worked in that fashion before. Like, hi, here are some strangers. Like, Sashir, in our case, we'd never met. You'd never met any of us,
no.
right?
Mm-mm.
We're all.
I don't know any people.
But have you ever worked in this way before? Like, just writing shit over email and trading ideas back and forth?
I mean, like, in SNL, we wrote things in a week.
And that is what I was leading towards.
Okay.
No.
I see. Okay.
See, this is my journalism where I ask a very leading question. Like, did you ever have a job where, like, you only had a week to get things together and then you did it at, like, midnight in front of a live audience?
Perhaps something in sketch comedy.
I can't think of anything.
But, no, I was curious, like, whether you guys got together mostly to do that stuff, like, to write your musical pieces, or if you sort of had to throw them together remotely.
We have a really great musical director, Eli Bregerman. I don't know if I'm saying his name right. And they always have someone in that position to where you just come and you're like, this is the sketch idea I have. It's a commercial parody or it's a whatever. And like tell them what style or even just like send him a voice message that's like, I think it's like or whatever. And then he'll make a great song immediately like that night. We're all writing sketches on Tuesday night and then he will also write a song. Many songs that night.
Oh, that's cool. Well, you were such a natural at this.
Yeah, you both were. Like, you both were so, like, amazing at getting back to us with, like, ideas and stuff that we can plug into, you know, our edit as we were going.
I think it was perfect. And it was a great reminder of a lesson that I think I have to learn and relearn over and over, which is, like, just start. Like, don't get precious about the, you know, hum something, sing something. The words don't matter. 9 times out of 10, what you put down as a bullshit sacrificial track or scratch will make the end, you know, mm-hmm. like you kind of fall in love with those words over time. So it's that lesson of like not letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. Like just start.
I was gonna say, I loved the initial exercise that we did where you were like, give us a story about the first time you got in trouble.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was like, I guess this is like an icebreaker or something. I don't know. I didn't realize that was going to be like the basis of our lyrics.
Wow. Yeah.
And I was like, this is so cool.
Yeah, and you can kind of pull images from it. Actually, I would love for you to kind of paraphrase your the story that you gave us.
Yes, it was I was trying to steal a cookie from an already open bag at a grocery store. Like I saw a hole ripped in it and I was like, "Oh, I'll have one too."
Yeah.
I won't be really in trouble cuz I didn't open the bag. Someone else opened the bag. So I'll just follow along. And then my mom saw it and then brought I think a store clerk over to be like, she's trying to steal. My mom snitched on me.
That's so cold.
And I'm sure that was like a teen who was like, yeah, okay, don't do that, kid. Like, I'm sure they didn't really care.
No, they didn't give a shit, but they had to come over and be like, yeah, stealing is wrong.
Yeah, don't do that. And then I was terrified. I never stole again. Well, that's not true, but I didn't steal from a grocery store again.
And Mark, your story was kind of eerily similar, even though you guys sent them independently, obviously.
They were similar genres, yeah. Mine was that one Sunday after church, my family was at a restaurant called the Old Red Mill Inn in Clarence, New York. And I was probably 4 years old, maybe five, and got permission to go to the bathroom on my own. And, you know, 20 steps away from the table, a waitress dropped a huge tray, just a giant clatter of, you know, glasses and plates and stuff. And thrilled that it wasn't my fault this time, I dashed back to the table screaming, "It wasn't me, it wasn't me." And
Shaggy already wrote that song.
Right, yeah. So we did not cover that.
Yeah.
That's not what you're about to hear. I think one of the reasons that that's such a palpable memory for me and it's so present was that the restaurant was cool. It was the restaurant had a mill, a water wheel on it, and the room we were in was an actual train car, like a railroad car.
Which we immediately were like, these are lyrics.
This is literally a lyric in the song now.
A railroad car.
It almost like didn't even need to make sense.
No.
I was just like, we have to have the words water wheel and railroad car. So Shear sings them in the second verse. They were scratch lyrics, but then, I mean, no one bothered to change them, which makes me love this new band even more.
Exactly.
Everyone was on
that's
board.
Good.
On board
great.
For this foolery. So we also asked both of our guests for their musical influences from their formative years, and we let y'all decide what your formative years were, because for me, maybe I would say it was junior high. Some people might say it's college. Mm-hmm. Mark had listed Ahmad Jamal, Dave Brubeck, The Troggs, the Dave Clark Five. Then you tagged it with maybe one of my favorite lines. In high school, I fell deeply for terrible and amazing synth pop like Erasure and the Pet Shop Boys. True. Do with that what you will. Sorry. That was my Mark Evan Jackson
And you
voice.
Did, good. For the record. You did with it what you would.
Oh, yeah. We pounced on that new wave shit because Alex and I were like, yes, foppish English boys.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. I love it so much. Yeah.
So, like, were you a little spooky in high school? Like, what was your aesthetic?
Were you a spooky little ghost?
No, I'm I don't know what that means.
You weren't like a little ghost baby?
You weren't like a mall goth? I was a mall goth.
Oh, good heavens, no.
Yeah, I had, like, big old JNCO jeans and, like, black fingernails.
No, I've been mostly sweater vests and bow ties the whole time.
Okay. Right, we all have resumes. Now, did you find that, like, as a pianist, that anything with a keyboard, like, I was into rock and roll, but my instrument, like, as a kid was the piano. So anytime I saw, like, a keyboard or something with keys in a cool band, I, like, gravitated towards it. Was that maybe part of the reason you gravitated towards synth pop?
I think so. And also, it was at the time when I think the price point of keyboards and synthesizers like that came down enough that some of my wealthy friends began to buy Yamaha DX7s and Roland Juno 106s and stuff. Like, that's when my friends had keyboards that was like, this sounds exactly like Burning Down the House.
Right.
Mm-hmm. May I borrow this for the weekend?
Right, and it's like 100 pounds, and it's, will fall out of tune any second. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, so we really latched hard onto some of this Erasure, Pet Shop Boy. I mean, I love Pet Shop Boys. West End Girls, I think, is legit one of the best tracks of the decade. I think we came up with a bass line first.
Yeah, like, we just... We're like, what's something that could live in there? And we came up with this bad boy.
It's very robotic. Yeah.
And then you stopped and added nothing to it.
Exactly.
Which I thought was a bold choice.
And actually, that is the song.
That's the entire song.
So still 99 cents on iTunes or whatever.
Then I think the next thing we did was a synthy pad, still in kind of this Erasure, Pet Shop-y area.
Right. And then, but we also came up with like a little lead sat on top of it. So the two of them together sound like this.
And I say we, like I did anything. Alex wrote this part.
Well, yeah. But I mean, you gave permission.
You're right.
Because if I were to record that on my own, I'd be like, this is garbage. This sounds like throwback.
It's a bop, man.
It really is.
It's got like I love house. I mean, I came up in the house scene in Chicago a little bit, and it was like that. Took me back immediately. I was like, yes, we're so sweaty.
Exactly. And once we made the decision that, like, we can go clubby with this, like, I think we just were like, let's make it huge and weird and strange. change and put everything in it.
Okay, so then, Sashir, we had asked you the same question, influences during your formative years. You hit us back with Beyonce, Destiny's Child, Spice Girls, Usher, Alicia Keys, Jay-Z, Zinkin Park, wait, did I say Zinkin Park?
You did say Zinkin Park.
I love Zinkin Park.
I'm unfamiliar with that.
It's actually really good for colds.
Linkin Park, My Chemical Romance, and Evanescence. Okay, so it may not be totally evident, because at first I was like, Destiny's Child, harmonies, we can do that 100%. What I actually ended up pouncing on was Evanescence, because in Bring Me to Life, that chorus harmony that she's doing is like a weird wide fifth,
yep.
Which I think she's doing with herself. There's not another singer in that.
No,
no, it's no. Just her.
That's all Amy Lee.
Yeah, she's great.
Truly was like, we need to have a chorus where we're in this wide, you know, because it's easy to like stack thirds next to each other and be kind of poppy and tight together. But like having space between a female vocal is just sounds more dramatic and epic, which sort of fit in a little more. So here's a scratch take of some ideas for the chorus.
No more than six or less than four. Left me open in the store. No more than six or less.
So I've definitely seen you sing on SNL, but I didn't have the best idea of exactly where your range started and stopped. In our pilot episode, I had written like a very high part for my friend Paul F. Tompkins because I'd heard him sing the notes before. And he got this shit and he was like, this is so high. Why would I ever do this? And I was like, no, I've heard you do it. So I didn't want to write like outside of your range. So I started like Googling you and looking for YouTube videos and digging up a bunch of videos, anything of you singing. I think like...
Are there any?
There are some, but I really had to go deep. I would just be like, Sashir's Ameda sings. Sashir's Ameda musical.
She had to go on the dark web.
So now when I go on YouTube, like 10 videos of you pop up, like they think that I'm obsessed with you.
Think that, sure.
But I came across you doing the Night Late Show at UCB.
Oh, yeah.
And you did Valerie.
I did.
Gave me a good idea of your voice. I was like, okay, I think these parts that I've already written, she can definitely do. But then I got really stuck trying to come up with a verse melody because sometimes I just get like one thing in my head and I can't sing anything else. So I sent it to y'all and just asked you to come up with a verse melody, which you did after you were done filming one night, maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah, it came late.
I had a long day and I was in my bed and I listened to what you guys said and I was like, this is a hit. I fucking love this. And then, yeah, I was just like, I think maybe this would be a fun melody. And I just recorded it and sent it off.
And my fill and walking out, eyes will follow full of doubt. Walking through my sunken dream, still I flew back with a scream.
Dope. So Alex put a little treatment on it so we could slide it into a scratch demo. Mm-hmm. And then you also had a different idea for the second verse.
Which I still wake up to in my head, this the melody I hear.
Sonita Baker, thank you. I'm loving this pitch because obviously, like, there's no pitch correction on that because she just sang it into her damn phone.
Yeah.
So I knew you played the trumpet. I knew you played a lot of things, but we had done a Thrilling Adventure Hour covers show where you played what you called joke trumpet because you were doing a bit where you were like, I've never seen one of these things before. And then you pick it up and you're like, you're like Rebirth Brass Band or something.
Right.
So I knew that you could play.
Can fake, yeah.
Well, you did it. So yeah, on our day five, he came over to have a little play day and we got this trumpet.
Uh-oh.
Yes, little Tom Waitsy trumpet action.
Ooh. Which was so cool, like, to just have, first off, someone playing trumpet in a living room. Well, like, there's a mic and all the windows are open.
Yeah, windows were open.
Yeah, was that a rain stick at the end?
Oh.
I think it was a dump truck or something.
Honestly, we have a section dedicated to exactly what that sound was.
Yeah, I think my neighbors who run a landscaping business, Nate, what they do?
Landscaping.
Great. your starring moment. You have to get paid for that now. And I think they were pulling chains out of the back of their truck.
That's right.
Well, and also, so the trumpet take we just heard was two trumpet passes.
Right.
So like one pan to the left, one pan to the right. And what's crazy is that there was some business happening on both of them.
Right.
That like if you just isolate the thing that happens between the trumpet playing and only things that come from the outside run through the same echo that your trumpet is, it like – it makes an agreeable sound. Mm.
Sounds like white noise.
It sounds like this.
Yeah. Oh, that's from the movie Hunt for Red October.
Yeah.
What you're hearing is a Russian fast attack sub.
Right. And so to all those audio nerds at home, the reason that you're hearing it coming from one side and then moving to the other side with stereo panning is because they are two different takes. They're two different things minutes apart. So, you know, happy accidents happen all the time.
Yeah.
Truly. So I think we're actually going to keep those to mm-hmm. stick in the final product.
Because they make like great swells and transitional sounds. Mm-hmm.
But Sashir, you also had such a wide range of influences and things that you liked. Was there any unifying bond between those, like Linkin Park, Jay-Z, any of that stuff?
Well, I was a huge fan of music videos.
Mm.
And I think I really appreciated artists who cared about the videos they were putting out.
Mm-hmm.
I remember like Mark Webb was like my favorite director of music videos in that era.
Yeah.
And he did like a ton of My Chemical Romance videos, maybe Linkin Park too. I feel like I just remember seeing his name, because they used to put the credits in the corner.
Right.
Like on MTV, where it's like, this is the artist, this is the director, this mm-hmm. is the studio.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember being like, another Mark Webb joint.
I love that. You knew the director.
I loved it. And I can't remember if I was excited about telling people I was into Linkin Park or not, but well, I did have all their albums.
And let us not forget that Linkin Park did a song with Jay-Z.
Yes,
oh,
and
right.
I
ha- back no,
they
in
had
2004.
An album together, and
they,
I
oh, an
have
album?
It. Yes.
Sashir, do you have a favorite Destiny's Child track?
I mean, I think this is, I guess, odd because it's later in their journey, but I really love Cater for You. Wait, let me cater. Yeah, I think it's Cater to You.
Producer Josh is saying Cater to You. Producer Josh sits quietly through these whole recording sessions, just listening to us blow out everyone's hearing tracking drums. And
you know what we dubbed him? Maybe this is the time to unveil his new nickname from us mm-hmm. with love.
Because we were texting him on Mother's Day all these requests for shit we needed, and we were like, it's a Sunday, this man is not working. So we just started calling him
the Fairy Pod Mother.
First, it started with Podcast Mommy.
Yeah, Podcast Mommy. Yeah.
And we're like, Fairy Pod Mother.
Fairy Pod Mother. It's like, it's an honorific.
Wait, I want to play Cater.
He seems touched.
Yes, I love when Bae does a patter song. You inspire me to be better. Ooh. Challenge me for the better. Ooh. Sit back and let me pour out my love letter. The best podcasts are the ones where you just feel like you're sitting with us late night while we're stoned just watching YouTube videos.
Yes.
We decided that we needed a moment of piano beauty in the track. I was just listening to it, and, you know, like, it was taking me back to my club days of, like, you know, it's taking you on this ride, like, the ascension and dropping out of certain things. Like, where the breakdown comes isn't always a matter of mathematical, like, verse-chorusness in, like, house and new wave music. It's more about, like, when do you feel like things need to chill
right,
out?
Right, you're riding the emotion more than the structure. Yeah.
So I shouted at Alex, make something beautiful happen here. When we were running through the scratch, and I wanted.
She wanted me to write a piano solo. Right?
Like a beautiful lyrical piano. I was like, do like crazy runs, use the whole board. I was very demanding of your talent. So.
Well, and I honestly was gracious for the opportunity to shine.
Yes, John Tesh realness.
Giving you John Tesh realness.
Oh.
And then I'm going to give you some arpeggio. You know, other episodes we've done before this, I've been playing keyboards and I've been, you know, working as a producer. But to, like, have a moment to play my instrument was a really nice request from you, Tawny. So thank you
Absolutely.
So much.
Well,
and you killed it. That was beautiful.
Yeah,
thank you.
Alex, let's take a break.
Sounds good.
When we come back, more The Supergroup. After we finished the track, we got into the recording studio, and this is going to very much timestamp this in a specific date and time. So I'm sorry, future grandchildren and future alien populations that are listening to this, because you're going to know exactly what day this was recorded.
Did somebody hear Yannick?
I heard Yannick.
Yeah.
Are you hearing
it's at the same
L?
Time.
It's at the same time.
Is it really?
Until I heard it, I didn't hear the L. Yeah.
They live in different frequencies.
And it was like in an upper register. Okay. Like when you hear Laura, it's Laurel.
I don't want this in the podcast.
No, this is important stuff.
Remember that day, everybody? So Mark was practicing his trumpet because he doesn't play that often. Nate was kind of like positioning all of his percussion and sort of practicing, working out his part. And it just, boy, didn't it just create a nice sound soup out there?
A nice stew. I think it was thicker than a soup.
Yeah, it was chunky for sure.
It was a chunky stew.
It's nice to hear people good at what they do still make noise as though we're at a preschool. If you know Mark Evan Jackson, you know his voice is deep and resonant, and he's probably saying something mean about you, but with a gentlemanly swagger. And we wanted that gentleman snark on the end of this track.
Oh, do you want a level? Is that what you're looking at? Check, check, check,
yeah.
Check. Gravitas, gravitas, sibilance, gravitas.
Right away, once you sent the sort of the synth pad and bass stuff, I was hearing effectively West End Girls or something along those lines from the Pet Shop Boys.
Sometimes you're better off dead. There's a gun in your hand that's pointing at your head. You think you're mad, too unstable, kicking in chairs and knocking down tables in a restaurant.
And I just found myself craving like some preachy spoken word.
Yes.
I don't know, Shatner, Nimoy, just words at random, words that make sense, things that are too on the nose.
Yeah, so like...
I also really like the lyrics for that too.
Yeah.
When I read it, I was like, whoa.
You hear the unsung song of right and wrong, the path not taken, short story long. Kids make mistakes, adults decisions. Were you raised by books or television? No one watching, they're on the shelf. But if it leaves with you, can you live with yourself? What's yours is yours.
Cool. It's really cool.
It's simultaneously my best attempt at rap.
You should have kept that a secret.
It does feel a little bit Blondie.
Yeah, well,
right? Yeah, like, it's no, a little but, Rapture. For
but
sure.
Okay, do we remember the song "Be My Lover" by LaBouche?
Yeah, I'm gonna pull it up. Right
I mean, because that is that was my like one of my formative gay youth years was like I like LaBouche because it's like I must confess, girl, yes, I want to be your. I'm like you have okay. The voice for it.
I must confess, girl, yes, I want to be your lover. Take a chance. Mark, is that you, Mark?
It's. I'm not at liberty to disclose.
Oh, man. It's a Milli Vanilli kind of situation.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
So do you have any questions about the division of labor here?
I'm red.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then in the purple section, you cool to take the lower one?
So Shira wrote her verse melody and nailed it. I guess that makes sense because she wrote it. But it's always nice to hear someone who you know is musical, but you're not sure like how musical they are. Just come in and... kind of dominate.
Had my fill, I'm walking out. Eyes will follow, full of doubt. Walking through my sunken dream. Still I fly back with a scream.
Yes.
I love that scream.
Yeah.
And I noticed this time you got off of scream right away, probably to clear for that pre-chorus.
Yeah.
But let's do one where you kind of hang over.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be
a little self-indulgent,
yeah.
Y'all.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Walking through my sunken dream, still I fly back with a scream.
Yes.
That's fantastic.
Oh, I love the angst.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes. And I'm fit, 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 reaping the benefits.
And then speaking of indulgent vocal parts, I did some very self-indulgent, dynamic-y things before Sashir got here. I just really leaned into my early 90s. What is the word?
Chanteuse.
Chanteuse. Mm. What is that again?
The chanteuse is a real thing, and it's a term for a female singer of popular songs, especially in a nightclub. Now, it goes like way back to like old style, like... there was no such thing as recorded music and all music must be enjoyed live like in a nightclub. But then it has like followed in that kind of house music tradition of like the band might be like two DJs, but then they have a chanteuse that sings the hook.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And that like, so you were chanteusing left and right.
Oh, left, right and center. If you're paying attention to the panning.
And in five directions and surround sound.
Lift me up, you pull me down. dump my heart out to the ground. I love.
Like that?
I like that.
I thought it was a little climb every mountain.
Well, I mean, he can...
Climb every mountain.
Is that what it sounded like you sounded like?
Yeah.
Reaping the benefits of crime. Reaping the benefits of crime.
I'm in the wrong place.
I'm Nate. I play everything.
Whatever, dude.
I mean, whatever.
We get it.
So we had to talk with our drummers for this track.
Plural.
We didn't just have one drummer.
No.
We had two.
Two drummers.
Because we said, like in the tradition of the Melvins 38 special.
And other bands we have not just Googled.
Sometimes Modest Mouse. Maybe Pear Ubu, the internet says.
I'm going to say Slipknot.
Where's the other one? Was there another one we mentioned? Dana?
Ladies and gentlemen, Dana and Nate are two studio drummers on this track.
That's right. We have Nate, who has been drumming on every track thus far, but new to the supergroup is Dana Wickens, producer Dana.
Hi.
Yay. Nate, is this your first time on a podcast?
This is my first time
on a podcast. You're doing great.
Not my first time on a radio show.
This
when
is
I
not.
Was very young. I was on a Christian radio show, but I don't remember much about it other than Bible trivia.
Joke's on you. This is for the internet only.
Joke's on you. There will be Bible trivia in this.
Bring it.
How many houses did Moses live in?
Mostly wandering through the desert, probably more tents than houses.
Okay.
That was Moses, right?
You're right. That was a trick question.
Damn.
Dana.
Hi.
Thank you so much for lending us your snare.
Oh, my God. Anytime.
It's a beautiful wooden... Who's it made
by? It's a Gresh.
Is it Gresh?
Yeah. Ooh. Little used baby I got from Guitar Center.
Nice.
Heard of it?
Yeah, but I feel like getting a used snare... I'm really picky about, like, snare sounds and hi-hat sounds.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, like, I don't know. This snare is, like, very warm and not ringy. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have that, like, new concert band snare sound.
Right.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is perfect.
How long have you been drumming?
Since I was 8, so...
3 years.
3 years.
How long did it take you to get good? So, like, how much did your parents put up with just shit child drumming?
I mean, it's really funny because... So, my grandfather was a professional jazz drummer.
Oh,
so,
shit.
I feel like my mom didn't really mind, like, the drumming in the house.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely had to earn getting a drum set. I wasn't allowed to get a drum set when I first started playing. So, I had, like, a little dinky, like, wooden pad that had, like, a rubber square on it. It was the worst thing. But my parents were like, all right, you got to, like, practice and earn it. And I feel like I always kind of had, like... a little bit of a natural rhythm, but
yeah.
I mean, I don't know, like getting good, I just did it like all through school and then like private lessons. And
Nate, how old were you when you got your first drum set?
9 years old.
Damn. Wow.
Shout out to Marty Cummings.
Marty Cummings, where you at?
Yeah, I took one drum lesson. That's one drum lesson in my life. And that was from Marty Cummings, who was the drummer in my dad's band, Michael.
So you grew up in like a musical family, similar to Dana.
Yes, I grew up playing drums in church. With my dad.
Your dad's band was called Michael because?
Because that is the Archangel of War.
Christian band, you guys.
That sounds
sick.
Metal as hell.
Christian fucking metal as hell rock band. So, Nate, you did a lot of what I like to call a rat-a-tat. You did a rat-a-tat.
Yeah, a rat-a-tat. I don't know anything.
T-t-t-ting, t-ting, t-ting, ta.
Yeah, I know very little about drums. I had.
Well, I know a lot, and you did a tick-a-ting, ting, t-ting, ting, ta. Tick-a-ta-ta, t-chicken, tikka-masala.
Oh, God damn.
Right?
Yeah, very aptly described.
Okay, and so then when Dana came in, we were like, Dana, Nate did a lot of tick-a-ta-ta-ta.
Yes.
So we need you to do like a boom, pop, boom, boom, pop, pop, boom, pop.
I have to move it closer to me. I'm small. I was informed there was a lot of hi-hat work going on, so I stayed off.
A lot of hi-hat work.
Stayed off of those cymbals.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
A lot of
a boom bap.
Little boom bap. Toms, snare, straightforward. beats, yeah. a little four on the floor.
We did a four on the floor. No. Did you know that that term originated in the jazz days when a bassist, upright bassist, would take a walking bass part and it would happen on the quarter notes, which is, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4. That's four different times in a measure. But sometimes the drummer, what they would do is they would hit the four on the quarter notes each time with every stroke of the bass to pop the bass out. And that's still in production, a technique, even in electronic bass, to pair it with a kick drum sound to make it stick out some more. So we recorded the vocals, we recorded the trumpet, we recorded the piano part, we recorded the drums, and then it was time to put it all together in the mix. And what we noticed was that Sashir and Tawny sound amazing together.
Sashir and I blend together really well, which we didn't know because we've never met. But we ended up singing the hook together, but in kind of this stacked vocal harmony. So when you hear just Sashir by herself, it sounds like this.
Reaping the benefits of crime.
And then Alex added me in there.
Reaping the benefits of crime.
And listen how good you sound.
Reaping the benefits of crime. Reaping the benefits of crime.
It sounds so good. Like we are from the same womb. Is that what I want to say?
I mean, you have been confused for each other before.
We have been, and it's gross. So we had Mark's vocal doing this spoken word treatment. We slapped a little bit of EQ on it to give it that 80s new wave kind of vibe. And then Alex had the genius idea to sort of chop and screw it. Is that the right word? Do we chop and screw anymore, or am I Nana?
I mean, we can say chop and screw, but really what we just did was
don't
take
be kind
his,
to me.
Got away with it once, but you'll be back. You'll be back. You'll be back. Got away with it once, but
basically all we did was we took the phrase got away with it once, but you'll be back that he said during his spoken word section and put it over the end. I took almost each and every one of his words and mapped it across a keyboard so I could play it like an instrument. Including the word back in like four different pitches.
Yes, play that man like a keyboard. So even though this is kind of an electro track, it's drum heavy. We wanted big drum sounds, and we have a four stack, we have a double quarter pounder with cheese drum situation.
We have two sets of congas that Nate did, and he's the best. We have one set of bongos. We have Nate's drum kit performance, and then we use Dana's kick pattern to make it feel dancier, so it pumps, 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 pumps all the way through.
Pumps, pumps, drums, drums, pumps, drums, 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 drums. Mark also played some piano on this track because I was like,
because there's nothing he can't do.
I'm sad we didn't get you throwing down some mean French horn as well.
I don't own one. I don't French horns. I've never owned a horn. My high school owned them and loaned them, and so did college. Trumpets you can get for like $200. A French horn is so much plumbing. They're like $3,000 for like a basic B flat horn.
Oh, yeah. Fuck that. Nobody
so
needs to play that.
One. Yeah.
No one play the French horn anymore. That's highway robbery.
Are you kidding?
Not
no
what I'm
one
saying.
Play it.
Not what I'm
if you
saying.
Play the French horn, you're a chump. You're a coastal elite who burns money.
I bet you went to the fire festival, you French horn players.
French horn playing yacht riding motherfucker.
Damn, Tawny. Came for the French horn.
Fucking at me, you French horn dweebs on Twitter. JK, it's a beautiful instrument. So, Mark, we had you play underneath Alex's part because...
That's correct, yeah. I just wanted to sort of do a little counterpoint rhythmically to what Alex was doing, and also just have it be sort of sweeping and grand. And I mean, I guess on a classical tip, like it feels a little bit, you know, more concert, I suppose.
Yeah.
And Alex, I feel like you gave it a really cool treatment in the mix. What did you do to it?
The sound that we used for my piano part deliberately sounds like a grand piano. So it doesn't sound electronic. Mm. And I was thinking, like, how do we mix two piano parts together? And what we ended up with was giving his awesome chord progression that happens under the lead piano, what you would call like a plastic piano or a house piano sound, which is that very iconic 80s, 90s fake piano that a lot of dance music used. And we faded it up halfway through my solo. So it, when you listen to it, it like truly sounds like it belongs together. At the end, the volume of his chords eclipse the volume of the piano solo. So I think that creates like a really cool transitional moment.
I should have asked you this before, Sashir, but have you done much music, recorded music that was original, that was not like for SNL or that was not a comedy?
I wrote a song for my special that came out last year, Pizza Mind. And it's like kind of the same thing where they're like, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, how I feel like I never have to do this again. I'm just excited. Like, I did it. Like, I fucking did it. I did a special. I did my first special. And so we're just like tooling around. And it's like, I did it. I fucking did it. And then it's just like, it's like a campy musical at the end.
Where can people get your special now? Because it was on CISO, right?
It was on CISO.
R.I.P. CISO. R.I.P. CISO. We're all sad about it and yeah. also over it.
It was a good home while it lasted. But now it's on Amazon. People can buy it on Amazon.
Heard
buy
of that.
It on iTunes.
Before we go, I would like for my fellow bandmates to plug any of their very rude solo projects that they have. Mark Evan Jackson, what do you want the people to know about?
You can find me on Twitter and the like at Mark Evan Jackson, MarkEvanJackson. And please check out the Detroit Creativity Project. It's a nonprofit I started about 5 or 6 years ago. We offer improv instruction free of charge in the Detroit middle and high schools. It's DetroitCreativityProject.org.
Sashir, you've been clear about wanting to strike out on your own and not being chained to this project anymore, this band anymore. Tell us about your solo projects.
Yeah, I feel like I'm the Beyonce of this group.
You really are.
That could be.
You're at least the Rivers Cuomo.
At least. My website is sashir.com, and you can find all my tour dates there. And I have a show called Sashir's Made Up Party Time, and I'm also taking that on the road, and we'll be moving that to L.A. soon. My Twitter is at TheSheerTruth. And I also post about shows there. And my Instagram and Tumblr are the same thing. And that's it.
I'm going to put you on the spot. And I'm going to ask you to name our band. What is the name of this supergroup that's made up of Mark Evan Jackson, Tawny Newsom, Alex Kleiner, and Sashir Zameda?
Future Chill.
Hell yeah.
Oh, that was it the whole time. That
was it the whole time, yeah. You guys. Did you feel chill? How that name existed before we even did?
It's like, they just like, came in my mouth. They just like, it was like immediate.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about it.
It just showed up.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm putting you on the spot, but maybe this will be very easy.
Please.
What's the title of this track?
I mean, I think it's Benefits of Crime.
Yeah. Probably. Is there anything else we haven't covered? Anything y'all want to talk about?
Just that I think that you should do this for a living because you guys are really skilled at it and made this painless and really fun.
Aww.
Yeah, this is super easy.
I'm
going
to tell my mom you said that.
Please do.
You. I'm just going to tell Stitcher Premium you said that so that we can get a second season.
So then maybe should all of us at the count of three intro the song Benefits of Crime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Isn't that a thing that we do now on the podcast?
Yeah, we do that on the podcast.
Okay, great.
That's what we do on the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The Benefits of Crime by Future Chill. Chill.
God.
Taken short story long. Kids make mistakes. Adults' decisions were erased by books or television. No one watching. They're on the shelf. But if it leaves with you, can you live with yourself? What's yours is yours. What isn't isn't yet. Tempting, forbidden, surrounding net. Trains leaving the station on a circular track. Got away with it once, but you'll be back. You'll be back.
But you'll be back.